there's no place like home for the holidays. And no matter how far away you roam, if you pine for the sunshine of a friendly gaze, for the holidays you can.
Welcome back to Horror for the Holidays, a Christmas horror movie podcast. That's right, it's Christmas again. No more Fat Boy Summer. Woohoo! Yay!
We're back from that terrible resort.
I'm Jay Logsdon.
And I'm Jeff Searcy.
And hey, Jeff, how about you grab that plastic bag right there?
This plastic bag right here?
Yeah, this one right here.
Oh, God, it's plastic and a bag.
It's my buddy's birthday.
Oh, boy. Ooh, see something horror of Dracula. Ooh, interesting.
A Christopher Lee action figure?
It is a Christopher Lee action figure. Not a character of his, but the actual Christopher Lee.
It's the Horror of Dracula, but it's just a Christopher Lee action figure.
Yeah, weird. And it has a candle. Ooh. Oh. Ooh, that looks nice. It's got three different heads. Oh, he's got his creepy pointing finger. That's always good. Thank you, sir.
You're welcome. There's a couple other things in there.
Who's brave enough to look in this bag? Oh, some sort of Godzilla.
That's a blind... So when I went to the store, every single box was open but one of them.
Ah.
And I went, well, I'm not going to buy Jeff an opened box.
Now I'll open the box. It's a bag. Oh, yes, a black bag.
And you could get anybody. You could get...
Could even be a boat.
Rodan.
Oh, sweet. It's Mothra.
Oh, sweet. I was going to say Mothra. Mm-hmm. Couple different Godzillas.
Classic Mothra.
That's a sweet-looking Mothra.
That is a sweet-looking Mothra. Thank you, sir.
I think there's one last thing.
There's one last thing in here. Uh-huh. What are you?
It's like a Godzilla egg, and it folds out.
Oh, a Godzilla transformer.
Oh, and it's burning Godzilla.
And it's burning Godzilla from the very last of the Heisei series. Thank you, sir.
You're welcome.
Very, very good gifts, as usual. God, this Mothra is sweet.
I'm so glad that was. I'm like, oh, they all look pretty cool. Mothra looks sweet. I hope it's Mothra.
I hope it's Mothra.
But I was like, as I kept looking, I then saw that Horror of Dracula thing. I was like, well, I gotta get Jeff Horror of Dracula.
That is a great movie. Underappreciated.
You know, it's not a great movie.
This
Christmas Craft Fair Massacre. Let's deck the halls.
Here we go.
Released December 13th, 2022.
Hold on, Jay. I'm getting a phone call. Satan, is that you?
Jeff, I noticed you didn't even answer. The phone didn't even light up.
Ah, yes. Oh, that's not required for a phone call anymore. And Satan's calling me magically, by the way. Oh, never mind. He's busy. He'll call me back in two scenes.
Satan can't astral project.
No, he can't. Not until the last third of the movie, Jay.
I will say, hey, December 13th. Pretty good job on the early date.
Yeah, it came out in time for Christmas. Props for that.
Yep. You were settling down for Christmas. You went, ooh, this new movie, it sounds like fun. We'll watch Christmas Craft for a Massacre. I hope no one did.
Let's hope.
Written and directed by Brett McCormick, using the alias Bando Glutz and Max Raven, respectively.
Gee, I wonder why they didn't want to put their names on this shit.
Do you think Bando Glutz sounds like a Star Wars character?
It sounds like somebody who would be at the cantina, yes.
Here's Gulp Shitto and Bando Glutz.
That's right, and Ponda Babu.
Titus Berry plays Mortimer Shade. I'm just going to read every single actor and who they play.
You might as well, but it's not going to matter.
Because, boy, these names are something else. We've got Rebecca Bills as Julie Pureblood. Victoria Cheney as Megara Pendragon.
Oh, yes.
Fallon Connor as Sally Parishioner. Russell Connor as Father Goodman.
Oh, yeah.
Sarah Featherstone plays Hannah Horrible. Tom Fagan is Homer Houndstooth.
Yes.
Patrice Klepsy is Patrice Crystal. and Christopher Pena is Ben Highcloud.
Ah, yes.
Filmed in the Bedford Public Library in Bedford, Texas, which I think is a suburb of Houston.
Yes. Yes, it is.
And that's pretty much all I've got about this stupid movie.
Well, I do want to, an interesting note on Amazon is it says a runtime approximately 1 hour and 11 minutes. And then in the, Amazon AI analysis of the comments, it says runtime says 1 hour and 11 minutes. Some people say 1 hour, 12 minutes.
Thanks, Amazon.
So I just wanted you to know that. There's a couple things I found. What was it?
I think our director plays three different characters in the movie.
He does. That was one of the things I found. there was an article about it on Screen Rant. Apparently, they did an interview with the director, and apparently, he got most.
Which one? Most of,
well, of course, Jay, Max Raven.
I was going to say Nev.
Brett McCormick.
Nev Key. Sebulba.
Yes, of course, Sebulba, Jay. But no, apparently the props used in one of the only things they actually filmed was the satanic altar with all the Spirit Halloween props.
Yeah, all those great Spirit Halloween props.
He said the only reason he was able to get all those Spirit Halloween props is because they were 80% off after Halloween.
Hells yeah.
He was able to clean it out, so I thought that would be an interesting fact.
I recognized a lot of that shit.
Oh, don't worry, Jay. I found a review that's going to attack you personally.
me personally? Yeah, great.
Jay Logs.
There's that guy, Jay Logsdon, host Horror for the Holidays. He's a real fucking piece of shit.
He's probably the kind of movie he'd like.
Disagree. Have they listened to this podcast? You're the one who likes more of the really bad shit.
Yeah. I was going to say
this. I like good bad stuff.
This would be more of a Jeff Searcy like, but even I can't muster up a like for this.
I like the good bad stuff like A Cadaver Christmas and Mother Krampus 2, Sleigh Ride.
Mother Grandma.
This is
let's just get it out of the way now. This isn't a movie. This is a lie. We were flim flam, Jay.
As you said to me, this is Krampus versus Bigfoot live action.
Yes, it literally is that. It's a bunch of unconnected scenes that they're calling a quote unquote movie for marketing purposes.
With a bunch of stock footage usage.
It's stock footage. People who literally sound like they're reading their lines for the first and only time.
Yep. Where to watch? Tubi, YouTube.
Watch it on Tubi. Do not buy it like Jay Logsdon has purchased this film.
I own a DVD copy. should I say what other movie I got when I bought this on DVD?
Yeah, you should.
So I went to Grindhouse Video and I made a purchase. I bought a couple things. I don't remember what everything was. But one thing I do remember is that I also bought Krampus versus Bigfoot when I bought this.
Why am I not surprised?
They arrived in the same packaging.
Like I told you before we started recording, Jay, at least in Krampus versus Bigfoot, the characters talk in the same room.
I mean, I'm not positive any of these people were in the same room at the same time. I think a couple of them were, but not
possibly,
many.
Yeah.
All right.
I guess let's get started describing the quote unquote plot of this film.
All right, let's do our synopsis. Oh, God.
God, even the notebook is rebelling against this garbage. All right, now that malfunction is corrected.
Stock footage of a construction site. And then we see a guy get in his car, put his phone up to his ear, but not call anyone as you watch his phone just go from the clock to off.
Mm-hmm.
And he's really aggressive on the phone, starting with, "Listen here, you douchebag." And then he says they found bodies at Central High and that he has eyes on them 24/7. And then tells us his name is Gerald Rivers.
Yeah, no. He said, not only does he tell us his name is Gerald Rivers, he also says, "Thank you, have a good day." And then in the end of his scathing
message. He's like being like a real piece of shit. He's like, "Listen here, you fucking douchebag asshole. You fucking freaks, we got eyes on you 24/7. We're going to be watching you." This is Gerald Rivers, by the way. Thank you. I think I have his exact end quote. Mm-hmm. We then see more stock footage of a construction site, and then Gerald sitting in his car with tiny binoculars.
Yes.
And then we just see a hand reach in the driver's side window and chloroform Gerald. Cut to black. Gerald wakes up in a basement surrounded by Spirit Halloween cadaver parts and a guy in a white Spirit Halloween color wall mask and coveralls that I think also got from Spirit Halloween, mm-hmm. attacks him with an axe, and he delivers the most, like, deadpan, no, as he gets axed repeatedly.
Stop.
We get a thunderclap sound effect and then a rain sound effect. And then we cut to a beautiful, cheery day of what I'm assuming is stock footage of Houston.
We hope. Although it's definitely some of the nighttime shots are of New York City.
We get opening credits in like a word art style.
Yeah.
And over this we hear KILL talking about the Central High Craft Fair.
That radio station was the only good part of the movie, by the way.
The KILL, we're killing it.
Yep.
Title card. Christmas Craft Fair Massacre. Ugh. Some old lady is on the phone while the radio is on, and she loudly says, "Let me turn the radio down."
You know, only five minutes. This is what pisses me off even more, Jay. Only 5 minutes of this fucking movie takes place at the craft fair.
And then we see her talking to an old hippie wearing a fedora who sounds like Tommy Chong. Mm-hmm. He tells the woman, who we learn is named Patrice, that he is getting dark energy from the high school, and that his spiritual advisor, Ben Highcloud, it would have been funnier if he constantly referenced Ben Highcloud, but we never saw Ben Highcloud.
That would have
been was really waiting for that to happen.
Yeah.
Says it was built on an Indian burial ground, and we learn Patrice is a psychic, and she has helped the cops solve crimes.
According to movies, is there anywhere in the United States that is not built on an Indian burial ground?
I mean, that's a good question.
Oh my god. And of course, I don't know if you're familiar with the George Lucas technique of making the prequels where everything is shot reverse shot of people talking, but this is shot reverse shot of people talking on the phone, so it's even worse
constantly. The hippie dude, who we still don't have the name of yet, tells Patrice that the school's principal gives him a bad feeling, and his name, the school's principal, is named Mortimer Shade.
Yeah, yes.
And that at his last school, a student went on a rampage, and Patrice hangs up saying she will do a tarot reading on Mortimer.
And again, it's like, could you get any more comic book villain with your name? It's like, that's like the...
Every single name's like a fucking comic book character.
It was like in the animated Spider-Man or animated Batman cartoon where you don't know who the villain is because you're a kid. It's like, it couldn't be the guy named Mortimer Shade, could it?
Excellent point. Principal Mortimer Shade. Oh, we get stock footage of a high school, and then we get Principal Mortimer Shade talking on a turned off cell phone to Chief Henry and says, "We don't want anyone getting hurt this year." And then we get a weird monster after effect pop up on the screen for a second.
Satan, Jay.
We get stock footage of cars driving down a street decorated for Christmas at nighttime, and a guy and a girl. We're like 10 minutes into the movie. We will not learn their names until, I think, over an hour into the movie. Talk about Christmas while they're in their car, although I'm not sure they are actually in the car at the same time together.
I don't think they are.
And the girl tells the guy that she'll find a way to get his Christmas spirit out.
Mm-hmm.
Stock footage of a high school hallway. Mortimer Shade holds a knife and calls Megara Pendragon the owner of the mall.
Not only does he hold a knife, he holds a knife by the blade, not the handle.
And he talks about how they should team up to welcome the Dark One. Pendragon doesn't seem interested, but Mortimer says that Ned Funk, I love that name, is preparing for the Satanic Nativity. Mortimer then says he's going to find the pure soul for the sacrifice. Stock footage of a house decorated for Christmas. The girl from earlier has made cookies for the orphanage's bake sale, and her and the guy are once again not appearing to be standing in the same room. Is she the pure soul? We won't know till about 40 more minutes into the movie.
Are these cookies only for orphans?
That was a great line. He has some good lines. Yep. Who the fuck are you?
Yep.
Mall stock footage.
Yes.
a lady in a Christmas sweater is asked by Pendragon to perform an evil task. Is it? I've got a task for you. Is it an evil task? Aren't they all?
Do I give you any other kind of task, bitch? Of course it's an evil task.
So she asks if she can wear the goat mask, and Pendragon's like, you can wear the goat mask to the sacrifice, but not while you're using your malevolent magnifying glass.
You can't walk around scaring the customers with your goat mask. It's the lamest goat mask ever, by the way.
It is what I have referred to. You can buy it at Spirit Halloween. Mm-hmm. It is what I have referred to as anonymous sex party mask.
Ah, yes. good call.
I've been like, what if I walked around like wearing this mask, a bathrobe, and just my underwear? And I'm like, this is my costume for today. I'm going to the anonymous sex party. Nobody has any idea who I am.
Yep.
As I'm like rubbing my belly button with my finger.
Gross.
Stock footage of a church. Father Goodman calls Dan the hippie from earlier. We just learned that his name is Dan, who is commissioned to paint a mural for the nursery. I think this is only to set up the fact that Dan, Patrice, Ben Highcloud, and Father Goodman all have like a connection, relationship with each other.
Well, and also the order for the mural is the weirdest thing I've ever heard. We want a mural. Oh, what do you want? We don't know. Give us some ideas.
We want it to be holy. What, holy, but also cheerful.
Yep.
Oh, cheerful and holy. Got it. At Patrice's house, Patrice and her friend, son, lover, I don't know.
All three.
John are trying to decide what to do for the Christmas program. And John says, let's do a punk rock Jingle Bells. And then he plays it and it sounds fucking terrible. Also, there's a continuity error. He's not wearing headphones, and then when he goes to play, he is wearing headphones.
Of course, Jay.
So just need to point that out.
Oh, are you telling me that there is a continuity error in Christmas Craft Fair Massacre, Jay?
Hard to believe. Back at the school, we meet head of security, Homer Houndstooth, who taunts Mortimer for what happened at his last high school, where the kid went on a shooting rampage and killed a bunch of kids.
Yeah.
So Mortimer has him killed by Ned Funk, the man in the mask. And we see, and then Mortimer says, with Homer out of the way, they can now get all the souls at the craft fair.
Oh, yeah. Except they literally are only after one soul. So what is the point of all this?
Stock footage of storm clouds, and then Patrice does her tarot reading, and we get the tower, death, and the devil.
Don't forget her.
And then we get scenes of a guy in a ghost mask, and she says, I've got a real bad feeling about this. Patrice has Dan over for coffee, and they make a plan for dealing with the creeping darkness.
Of course.
With some line like, darkness, like Mortimer Shade. Do you think that's how he got the last name?
Yep, that's exactly how he got that last name. Oh my god, there's still so much more to go.
We get stock footage of a church, but we know that it's Boston because there is a duck with the words Boston Duck Tours on the side driving by the church.
Yep.
So much for the illusion that we're in Houston. Father Goodman sees an after effect of a ghost and says the Lord's Prayer.
Yep.
At the mall, the lady in the goat mask calls someone on her phone unlocked screen. Mm. Like, we just see all of her apps. She loudly makes plans to be more evil than Pendragon.
Of course.
Yeah. She's just loudly talking on the phone. We assume in the food court. Mm-hmm. And she's just like, I'm gonna axe so many people. I'm gonna sacrifice so many people. Oh, I'm just gonna kill all these people.
Oh, well, hey.
So much for laying low.
You know what she says? I'm more evil than her. She told me not to wear the goat mask, but I'm doing it anyway.
I'm gonna do it anyway.
That's a little evil, right?
In the basement, Ned Funk lights a fire and then tosses body parts into it. And maybe that's why we learned that Ned Funk was horribly burned. Maybe it's the callously tossing body parts into a burning barrel.
Surely not, Jay.
At Dan's house, Ben Highcloud appears and says that Dan and Patrice are warriors of the light against Mortimer's otherworldly darkness, and that all three of them and Father Goodman need to join their hearts. And when Dan goes to call people to let them know, Ben has vanished. I think this motherfucker can astral project.
Nah, that can't be.
Dan calls Patrice and then tells her about what he saw. And Patrice goes, Ben can astral project. We already knew about this. We already fucking knew.
What?
Mortimer talks to Mrs. Crabtree about doing decorations at the school, and we see like a house that's changed their Halloween display to a Christmas display just by throwing like a bunch of Santa hats on. It's actually pretty great. This is actually a great scene.
I like it.
Dan calls Father Goodman, and they talk about keeping the light. Mortimer talks to someone on the phone about the bodies uncovered at the construction site. And we see Ned decapitate someone. The forces of light all pray slash meditate slash whatever. And Mortimer can feel it. So he tells Ned to send them body parts for Christmas.
Of course.
We get mall stock footage as Ghost Mask, scans people at the mall with her malevolent magnifying glass.
Obviously.
It's just her, like, seeing people. One, this is really old stock footage because we see an open Borders, the bookstore. Yes. But she just, like, sees people walk by and she's like, oh, cheating on your wife. Does she know?
Embezzling. Meh.
And then, like, oh, murder. Maybe we can get to know each other better. Ben meditates and talks about how inside everyone there are two wolves, and this is some kind of Facebook shirt bullshit.
Oh my god, yes, the old two wolves thing.
A white wolf and a black wolf.
Which one wins?
Whichever one you feed is the one that wins.
Yeah. Dollar store wisdom.
We get goofy Christmas music playing as Ned wearing his jumpsuit and his white mask is now also wearing a Santa hat and just putting body parts into gift bags and then walking down the street carrying a Santa like a bag over his shoulder and just putting these gift bags on people's front steps. And the fact is, people know that Ned is this dude, like this horribly disfigured dude wearing a mask. Everyone knows what he looks like. No, he's just gonna walk down the street in broad daylight and just put these bags on people's front steps. Oh, no, the police will have no idea who did it.
How would they, Jay? How would they?
A mom yells at her daughter, Mary Beth, about going to the craft fair. Mary Beth calls her mom a bitch. Ned puts the package out on the front step, and the mom opens the door, finds the package, and finds a head inside, and faints and or maybe dies.
Who knows?
Who knows? Patrice arrives at the craft fair. Ned kills another random dude.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
We get a bunch of stock footage of, like, Christmas decorations and Christmas craft fair, and I swear if you have, like, if you're prone to seizures, maybe don't watch this because they're just flashing these images on screen really fast. And they're interspersed with, like, images of Patrice just sitting at her, like, craft fair booth, like, ho-hum, oh, nothing to worry about.
Oh, yeah.
In the basement, Mortimer is now wearing a, like, cheap plastic robe that you would have gotten from, like, a Ben Cooper, like, costume thing in, like, the 90s.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure I had a robe just, like almost made out of plastic.
Yeah.
And he's also wearing a goat mask, and he kills a guy and then talks about how out of shape he is.
God, I gotta start murdering people more often.
Dan calls Father Goodman and says, Mortimer is a member of the Cult of Betrayal.
Wait a minute, isn't that Greek for betrayal? Yeah,
it is. Pendragon has called Ned in front of her and grills him about the true soul. And Mortimer opening the gates to hell, and she says, you know what would get you even more power? If you betrayed the betrayer and brought the true soul to me. This does not happen. None of this happens. This served no purpose.
No, and literally, it's just shot reverse shot of her reading her lines for the first time, and him shaking his head no and yes. That's it.
The guy and the girl arrive at the craft fair, and she goes to pee, and I guess Ned can sense the pure pee and follows her into the bathroom. Ben appears in front of Dan and tells him to do nothing, but their light plus Goodman's and Patrice's will shine through the darkness.
Yeah.
Don't do anything, Jeff.
No. Jane, that's crucial to this movie. Don't do anything.
We get a bunch of scenes of stuff that's already happened, and then Patrice screams in the middle of the craft fair. Patrice then says she has a bad feeling, and then Dan, Ben, and Goodman channel their way to her and form a circle of light. Ned takes the girl to the altar in the basement and just kind of gingerly drapes some chains around her.
Yep, yep. That'll hold her.
And Mortimer puts on the goat mask. And he, like, even putting on the goat mask and the robe, he looks incredibly out of shape. The guy then notices that he hasn't seen the girl in a while. So he just walks into the women's restroom looking for her.
Hello?
It is here at 1 hour, 1 minute, and 56 seconds that we learn their names are James and Julie.
Yeah.
And you might not even know his name is James yet if you weren't reading the subtitles.
True. True. Very true. I don't know. I don't even know what to say.
Now for my one of my favorite things. Father Goodman refers to him as Nick.
Yeah.
They're like, Patrice, you gotta find James. And Father Goodman's like, yeah, when you find Nick, do blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, well, you know, Jay, he had the old script before they changed the name, so he wasn't able to figure that out.
And basically, Patrice has to find James and tell him where Julie is, and then leave the building. Patrice can't help James rescue Julie.
No.
She has to leave the building.
Leave the building. Don't. I told you, Jay, don't do anything. What don't you understand about that?
She goes up to James, tells him where Julie is, and then leaves the building and does not help. Julie wakes up during the ritual, and Mortimer and Ned tell her what they are doing and what they're, you know, that they're going to open the gates to hell. And James just sneaks in, axes Ned in the back with like just like the most obvious squelching sound effect
and the most limp-wristed swing I've ever seen.
And then goes behind Mortimer, and we get the exact same sound effect again. Julie gets mad at James for killing the people while rescuing her.
Did you just kill those guys? That wasn't very nice.
We then see Pendragon panicking. I guess she sensed everything that happened, and then her head explodes.
Yeah.
And then we see Goat Mask, and she's like, oh, I don't feel so good, and then her head explodes.
Being punished by Satan for being fucking bumbling boobs.
We then see the murder basement collapse, and then we see what at first I thought was a nuke going off.
It is. It is a nuke going off.
But apparently the school...
The school exploded, but it exploded in a nuclear explosion, Jay.
There's a giant,
literal mushroom cloud and a blast wave. Which, if the stock footage is to be believed, would have wiped out a moderately sized city.
And then we just cut to Dan going, that's what I'm talking about.
Yep. Yep.
And then we see Julie and James like driving down the street as though the school didn't just explode behind them. And I don't know, they talk about something, and then the credits roll, end of movie.
Oh, yeah, end of movie. Sure, Jay, yeah. We'll call it that.
End of stock footage, the movie.
End of long Skype call, essentially, between four or five different people.
Oh, my God, I just...
You know what they always say, Jay? Tell, don't show. That's the number one rule of making a good story.
This is an entire movie of just stock footage and people talking to each other, and that's it.
And anyway, Jay, that's when I discovered that we need to do the sacrifice with the pure soul. Hold on, somebody's on the other line. Why, yes, I am also psychic.
Why, yes, I would like to change my long-distance carrier. All right. Well,
you know what? I've been reading Lord of the Rings again because I read it every year. This movie is like if the entirety of Lord of the Rings was just the Council of Elrond, where people sat around and talked about what they were going to do about the ring.
Oh boy. Well, what category would you like to start with?
None.
I mean,
this movie is done. Good day. No,
I said good day.
I don't know. I guess let's talk about the only thing that might even slightly have anything to talk about, the Christmas spirit, because they did manage to wrangle some stock footage with some Christmas decorations in it, I guess.
How Christmassy is the movie? How Christmassy are the kills? Barely.
I mean, Ned Funk does use an axe, so I guess there is that.
Is the great scene of Ned... putting body parts into gift bags and then carrying those things down the street in a Santa sack.
Yes, he does. Say he uses
wearing a Santa hat.
He uses a Santa hat in a bag. That's about as much as you're going to get in this movie. And of course, the stock footage of various Christmas scenes.
We never get to see the satanic nativity.
Never. Not even close. But, you know, Jay, honestly, after the first 10 minutes, I wasn't expecting to ever see it. So.
And then we also get the the Halloween display where someone put like Santa hats on all their skeletons in their front yard.
Yep. Classic. Well, you know, Jay, those were 80% off, so perfect.
But yeah, the movie, I mean, other than, I guess, needing a reason to have a craft fair. I don't even know if that's it. I don't know.
You know why? Because, yeah, you don't even need a craft fair. Could be at any time of year for any reason. The reason that they did this and the reason that they put it out in December is because some streaming service put out a call for Christmas-themed horror movies in time for Christmas. And they're like, hey, I bet we could scam them with this garbage and get a fat paycheck. And they did.
I mean, you and I watched it.
Yep.
I bought it on Tubi.
I was going to say, you bought it. At least I watched it on Tubi, which still not good. I gave them ad revenue for this.
How about Christmas wrapping, sets, costumes?
Terrible.
gore effects.
I was going to say, what gore effects? But yes.
Spirit Halloween. It's cadaver props.
It's literally terrible shit. Horrible shit. I mean, literally, you know what makes it even more frustrating and even worse is that I'm sure you also follow Mike Lombardo on Facebook.
Yes.
Watching him build himself all these props for the new Dead Format movie that he's making shows me that you do not need a lot of money to make good props.
No, exactly.
And we already knew that from White Doomsday. There was no excuse for them. They were just literally doing a lazy cash grab, doing the absolute bare minimum they could do to get it over an hour runtime.
The stock footage was pretty high quality.
Oh, well, yeah. I'm sure, you know, somebody, Jay, must have bought the premium plan at Shutterstock to make this thing. They're out $99.
That might have been $99 plus all the cheap shit at Spirit Halloween might have been their whole fucking budget. Oh,
that must have been. You know, well, you know, I think they might have paid, like, Mortimer Shade. He might have been, what, you think snacks and $100 probably on this production?
Snacks, certainly.
snacks. Punch and pie will be provided, Jay.
There is nothing else to talk about.
People are literally in their street clothes, essentially. There are no costumes except for Ned Funk, who's in the bare minimum of a costume you could go buy at Spirit Halloween. That's it.
One of my favorite things is, I'm pretty sure it's heavily implied this takes place over multiple days.
Yes.
They wear the same clothes literally, throughout. Yes.
And they're all in the same clothes through the entire thing. I guess you could call the evil henchwoman's goat mask a costume, I suppose. They're the only two people that are in costume, using that term loosely. Her and Ned. That's it.
And Mortimer, when he puts on the same mask.
Yes. Well, he reuses. Apparently, they share the same goat mask.
When I saw him wearing the mask, I thought, oh, they've captured her.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, because there's someone that he's getting ready to kill. I'm like, oh, they've captured her and he's taken her mask.
No.
That would have been interesting. That would have been an exciting, interesting thing to do
that,
in this movie.
That would have meant that the plot line with the two warring satanic cults would have went somewhere. But it doesn't go anywhere. And it's pointless.
Oh shit! All right, how about quotes, Jeff?
Oh yeah, there's so many memorable quotes. Well, I'll start with one from our illustrious villain Mortimer Shade. He gets off the phone with the police chief, and he's like, "We wouldn't want anybody to die at this time of year." Ha 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 ha.
I've got a Mortimer Shade. Instead of Santa's little helper, you'll be Satan's little servant.
Yep. I had that one. I made a note of that. Are these cookies only for orphans?
These are great. Almost makes me wish I was an orphan.
Yep.
Don't joke about that. Mm-hmm. God, Julie's such a fun hater.
Yeah. What would you expect from a pure soul?
Yeah, fucking pure souls.
Did you kill those men? That's not very nice. They're trying to sacrifice you to the devil. They're trying
to sacrifice you to the devil. Dan, the old hippie, who looks and sounds like Tommy Chong.
Literally, exactly like, yes.
Wearing a fedora. Mm-hmm. Ben should know, he's an Akokiksa medicine man. He wouldn't lie about that. In fact, I don't think he'd lie about anything. If you like Ben so much, why don't you fucking marry him?
Exactly.
All he does is talk about how much he likes Ben.
I was attacked by a spirit earlier today, in fact.
In my study.
How did you get rid of him? Prayed. That's the exact line reading, by the way. Prayed.
The DJ Chip Freely. This is Chip Freely, and you're listening to Houston's best radio station, KILL, where we're always killing it.
Rock on.
And then my last one. This is Gerald Rivers, the guy from the opening. You know, starting off with just this incredibly aggressive attitude. You're gonna wish you never broke ground in Houston, Texas, chump. I'm putting the local media onto you today. Bye for now. Have a nice day. And then he hangs up the phone. Asshole.
Yes, Ned, when I become the ruler of Earth, and Ned kind of cocks his head to the side because he doesn't talk, obviously.
Yep.
And then he puts his hand on his shoulder. Don't worry, Ned, you'll be taken care of. And this fucking, I don't even want to call it a movie because it's not. You know, you reading that radio quote and me, that's basically the only thing I remember fondly from this. If this whole thing had just been reported as a series of radio like broadcasts, like they're updating you on the story, would have been a better movie.
Interspersed with just the stock footage. Yes. Yeah. I might have actually loved that movie.
Like, well, they didn't have a budget, but you know, they did the best they could. They did the cool radio reporting thing. Yeah. Would have been something at least, but no. No, not even that little shred of creativity.
All right. Well, Jeff, let's Broken Bulb, Brilliant Bulb this thing.
Broken Bulb, the movie.
The thing I would fix. Just destroy the film. Delete the file off the hard drive. Like, get rid of the negatives. I don't know. There's no way to fix this movie. You can't polish this turd.
Like I said, the only way to fix this would be cut out all the parts with actors, make it the radio DJ, and maybe like a co-host. Narrating these events as if they're news reports and updates over time. That would be the only way to fix this from what they have.
I yeah, and that's...
And it still wouldn't be a good movie.
It wouldn't be a good movie, but it would at least be better.
Yes, it would at least be a thing. I mean, it would be a better podcast than a movie. I mean, this essentially is a podcast. For all the action that happens in this, this could have just been Jay and I pretending that we were on phone calls about Satanism, and it would have been roughly the same production value.
Hey, how about we do that for a stop? I've got a great idea for a stopping stuff.
Me
Jeff.
Too. I got a great idea for something we can sell to Audible, Jay.
Now, a dramatic reading of Christmas Craft Fair Massacre by Jeff and Jay from Horror for the Holidays.
Get our name out there, Jay. Perfect.
Brilliant Bulb, the thing. Is there anything you want to praise?
Yeah, the Brilliant Bulb for me was the radio DJ and the KILL always killing it. That was the only bright spot in this thing for me.
The thing that made me smile. I thought the Halloween decorations with the Santa hats, I thought that was great. Like, it's a bunch of skeletons in a yard and stuff. Looked like a great Halloween display, and then they're all wearing Santa hats. I enjoyed that. But the thing that made me smile the most was Ned in his fucking Santa hat putting body parts in Christmas bags, gift bags, and then just leaving them on people's front steps, walking through broad daylight doing this.
Yes. I agree. That is a bright
spot. That made me so happy. I was like, if the movie could have matched this energy for the other hour and, I don't know, 8 minutes.
yeah.
I think I would have enjoyed this movie better. That part tickled me to no end.
Yep. That's cool, Jay. You got 3 minutes of enjoyment out of this. That's nice.
All right. Well, listener, I'm sure it doesn't need to be said, but every episode of Horror for the Holidays, we rate our movie on one of three categories. Is it ho-ho-ho hilarious? Is it seasonally scary? Or is it you'll be sorry, Jeff?
GJ, I wonder what it could be. Now, honestly, I almost just put, I don't want to rate this movie because I don't even think it is a movie, so how can you rate it? But no, it's You'll Be Sorry. It's stay away from this. Please, for the love of God, do not buy this. Don't watch this. I don't want this having uptime on the streaming services because then they'll feature it on another one.
I was going to say, don't encourage them.
Please. We have seen this. We are the sin eaters for this movie. Do not do it. We did it for you.
This is a You'll Be Sorry. I think if you have a bunch of friends and you take an edible... You all take an edible. This movie might be enjoyable in those exact circumstances.
Maybe.
Maybe.
Maybe. It's a gamble.
But once again, this is a movie where you look at this and you know, and then you look at a Mother Krampus 2. You look at a Cadaver Christmas. You look at a White Doomsday. And like, those movies, I'm sure, weren't made for much more than this movie was made.
No.
And those movies are so much more enjoyable. Even, like, Mother Krampus 2, like, I think Ned's costume is probably on par with the weird leather face Michael Myers with long hair costume from Mother Krampus 2. But at least that's a fun movie. Like that's a fun movie with like some neat moments.
That's the difference, is if you do a movie where you don't have a big budget and you can't afford fancy props and things, which I still don't get, because it's been proven it can be done if you actually care. Because, I mean, we've seen White Doomsday.
Mike made White Doomsday for like $10,000 or something.
If
like that,
yeah. He said it probably less. He just didn't keep track of it. But yeah, with the way that movie looks compared to this, there's no excuse. But even if you can't make it look that good for whatever reason, maybe you just don't, because Mike obviously has talent with prop making and stuff that not everybody has. But even if you can't make it, do the Mother Krampus 2 thing where you use goofy props and stuff you can buy off the shelf, but you use a good idea and you actually care about the script and, you know, you try to make the movie entertaining.
And you care about the gore effects. You don't just spray blood.
If you do things like that, where you show some sign that you actually care, audiences will forgive a lot of bad props and bad effects.
No, absolutely. This movie is truly like irredeemable. Yes,
you can tell, everybody can tell, even if it's just in the back of your mind, when the person making this didn't care, you can always tell.
Jeff, I gotta ask, this or Krampus the Christmas Devil?
Krampus the Christmas Devil. That it at least had a coherent vision and they were all together shooting in the same place. Even if the story was garbage, it was at least a story.
I was sitting there watching this, and I was just like, this might be, this is boring as shit. Yeah. Like, and there are things that I still legitimately hate about Krampus the Christmas Devil. And I'm not saying that, like, you know, the things I've said to the Polonia brothers. Hey, I'm sorry. I judged you too harshly. Yeah. I watched Krampus versus Bigfoot. I'm not saying, hey, guy who did Krampus the Christmas Devil, I'm sorry. Your movie still fucking sucks. No, this is just even worse.
Yes, no, we found, Jay wasn't sure it would happen, but I always had faith that we would find a new basement. And we have. We've dug out another sub-basement in the Horror for the Holidays podcast. And look what's down there, Jay. It's Christmas Craft Fair Massacre.
Oh my God. Do you have to just stop to think that maybe we're wrong?
Oh, yeah. Apparently there's a big, big fan following behind this thing, proving once again that people can't be trusted.
I've got two.
Go ahead, Jay.
7 out of 10. So bad, it's amazing. And, like, I think there are some things that, like, I kind of agree with this, but overall, I don't know that I would ever give this a 7 out of 10. Is this movie good? Absolutely not. Is it a lot of fun to laugh at how bad it is? Absolutely. I don't know. I think you and I are having more fun talking about it than I ever had laughing at the movie itself.
Yeah, no, it's not good enough to laugh at.
Spirit Halloween gore effects, establishing shots that are obviously from Shutterstock, dialogue so bad it made me wonder if the writer has ever heard people talk. These are just a few of the reasons this train wreck is so bad, yet so amazing. But the icing on the cake is the acting. The acting is so bad. I mean, so, so bad. So wooden, I was completely shocked when I discovered that the actors were not, in fact, trees. Who knew? Long story short, watch it with your friends with your favorite adult beverage or herbal refreshment, which, yeah. Hey, that's kind of what I said.
I agree.
All right, Jeff, do you got one?
Oh, do I have one, Jay? Ahem, ahem, ahem. A Yuletide miracle of micro-budget mayhem. I didn't just watch Christmas Craft Fair Massacre. I experienced it. This is the cinematic equivalent of sipping mulled wine in hell while Krampus reads you bedtime stories. The acting, raw and fearless. The effects, handcrafted like the macrame ornaments at your grandma's house.
No.
The craft fair setting feels so authentic, I swear I could smell the hot glue and glitter.
You mean the stock footage?
And when the satanic nativity kicked off, reader, I stood and applauded in my living room. This isn't a movie. It's a tradition. 5 stars, no notes. This was posted on r/oppositereviews.
Hey, you know what? Good job, dude. 5 out of 10. Crafty.
Oh, God.
My wife is starting doing craft shows selling dog bandanas. Check her work on Instagram. Over the last few months, we've been doing a lot of Christmas craft fairs. Other than the demons, I can say from the first-person perspective that Christmas Craft Fair Massacre is the most realistic and truthful movie about craft fairs ever committed to film or digital video. Max Raven and Bando Glutz and Bib Fortuna.
Yeah.
Well, in the words of Judith Priest, I can neither confirm nor deny that they are also Brett McCormick. Houston Central High School was built on a Native American burial ground. I live next to the second largest one in the eastern part of the country, which means it has lured devil worshippers there like Principal Mortimer Shade to find the one pure soul, Julie Purebred, who, with the help of the mask-wearing Ned, why didn't you say his full name, Ned Funk? He's also struggling against the lady who runs the mall, Megara Pendragon, who wants her soul as well. I mean, yes, I guess all those things happened. Just,
well, no, they don't happen. They're discussed. Yeah.
So, yes, this movie may feel like it's been shot on phones. It has long talking sequences that were edited together to make it seem like everyone was in the same room. Who cares? It also has a priest, a shaman, someone who may be the director as well, and a nice lady all work together to drop a telekinetic nuke on the craft fair, saving the world and our souls. I have sat in these fairs and stared at the clock for what seems like days upon days, and only 10 minutes have moved, and maybe I don't want to be there, but I really love my wife and will do anything for her. But if I could drop a mind bomb on the Monongila Y before sitting there again for 8 hours while someone next to me super hard sells fiber fill pillows, and I've heard their lines hundreds of times, man, I would drop a bomb that would give Oppenheimer a boner from beyond the grave. Every review that doesn't understand this movie was written a person without any every review that doesn't understand this movie was written a person without any holiday spirit. That's just an incomplete thought. I don't know. End of review.
Proof the deep state is laundering money through bad horror. All right, listen, this isn't a movie. This is a laundering operation disguised as indie horror. Don't laugh. Think about it. You rent out a community center for $20, hire 3 local theater dropouts, and then blow the rest of the budget on 400 pounds of plastic poinsettias. No one in their right mind is going to make something this bad unless they're hiding something. You can practically smell the fake producers and LLCs in the credits. Why does every scene cut like it's been run through a paper shredder? Because they're destroying the evidence. Why does the killer disappear for half the runtime? Because the guy in the mask was also the sound guy, and they couldn't afford both at once. And that occult book that the villain in the mall reads from, I paused it. It's a Pizza Hut menu. I'm telling you, this whole movie is a psyop to make us dumber. 0 stars. Stay vigilant.
They may be right. They may be onto something.
Yeah, I said had to put that in there.
But I'm done.
All right. I just had this one. Spirit Halloween call. They want their trash back.
We do.
This movie is basically 71 minutes of Spirit Halloween's clearance aisle having a nervous breakdown. None of it looks good. None of it's shot well. You could have maybe even done something with this stuff and made it not that bad. But you know what? Why bother trying when you could drop this bomb on a streaming service and let some poor unsuspecting man just trying to unwind after work like me get caught up in this nightmare? And for a minute, let's talk about the kind of people who love Spirit Halloween. You know the ones I'm talking about. The people who think buying sexy plague doctor costume counts as a personality.
I don't think we sell sexy, but come on.
Rolling up to your friend's Halloween party with an unopened bag of Doritos and a fake scythe you'll hit people with by accident all night. You post Instagram selfies in front of your animatronics you bought on discounts at various retailers. Look, I get the appeal of making this movie and wasting a bunch of money and time and cashing a fat check, but please, somebody rate this thing so badly they take it off of all streaming services.
On the subject of Spirit Halloween stuff, I literally sent in my work chat, Jeff, do you want to read that last? It's a picture from the movie.
Jay Logsden says, watching a real low-budget movie, and I know where I've seen that mask before. There's a picture of the goat mask. I'm sure his coworkers adore him.
Yeah, it was just like me watching Terrifier for the first time, and I'm like, I know where they got those costumes from.
Yep.
Jeff, let's take our villain and...
which one? I mean, Ned Funk, he's the one who does the actual killing.
Satan?
Or Satan, yeah, I guess.
This is the worst Satan we've had, other than their ability to, I don't know, make people's heads explode?
I don't know. His ability to appear as a blue blob moving back and forth in frames, pretty good. Is it him that's killing those people, or is it the good aura that they've formed? Is that what's killing people?
I don't know. I have no idea.
I mean, nothing is killing people, let's be honest, because nothing happened. Literally, the objective of the good group is to do nothing.
They literally say that, do nothing!
And they succeed. I don't know. I guess, let's just put our friend Mortimer Shade, I guess...
Should we put him with his brother from his long-lost brother, Terrence?
Yes.
At the bottom of the pile?
He needs to be at the bottom. There's no way this guy could do... He literally can't even kill somebody who's already tied up. He's like, oh, God, I'm getting winded. Oh,
God, I'm getting so fat.
I gotta dismember people myself more often. Gotta stop letting Ned do everything.
Yeah, I agree. Let's put Mortimer with his fucking brother.
Yes,
yeah,
Mortimer fucking, and his brother Terrence.
Bottom of the barrel.
Bottom of the barrel. Scraping the bottom of the barrel yet again.
Fucking, oh my God. Truly, like, this is worse than Barricade. This is worse than Krampus the Christmas Devil.
It's worse than both of those, because at least both of those are actual movies.
All right, Jeff. Well, it's time to shove some garbage into our mouths.
Thank God, Jay. I've never said this before, but I'm happy to be starting Garbage Day so we can be done talking about this horrible movie.
So, Jeff, listen up. Here's the story about a little blue man who lives in a blue world.
Yeah.
And all day and all night, and everybody around is just blue like him, inside and outside. Blue his house with a blue little window and a blue Corvette, and everything is blue for him and himself and everybody around, because he ain't got nobody to listen to.
Ah, okay, okay. I think I've heard this one before.
We're doing a bunch of blue stuff.
Oh, okay. In a roundabout way, that's how I'm going to say it's a blue theme on today's Garbage Day.
We've got blue raspberry Fantastic Four Pop-Tarts.
Oh, boy. Ooh, don't talk about Fantastic Four, Jay.
We've got blueberry pie Oreos.
Oh, okay. Excited for that. Oreo usually doesn't miss.
We've got sour blue raspberry Mike and Ike's.
Do you want your own pack, or do you want to split a pack?
I should probably split a pack. It's probably be better. And to wash it all down, we've got Crush Back to the 80s Electric Blue Razz.
Oh, man, I gave you Thing, and I've got Mr. Fantastic.
Mr. Fantastic and his fantastic dong.
Yep, I've seen the memes. A little longer, a little wider.
Oh, that's perfect.
Yep. Make it more like Namor's.
All right.
Here's a reference photo of Victor's.
All right, let's start with the Blue Razz. The Blue Razz Fantastic Four Pop-Tarts.
Mm.
It doesn't even say it's clobbering time.
Yeah. Lame. It's okay. Pop-Tart.
Yeah, it's a blue raspberry Pop-Tart.
Yep.
It's nothing special. Maybe it'd be better if we warmed it up, but
yeah,
I don't care that much.
No. I usually just eat Pop-Tarts straight out of the package. I don't bother warming them up.
Same here.
Yeah. All right, here we go. Got some blue Mike and Ikes. Back to the 80s, Crush.
80s.
80s. The 80s, mate, was a good time.
Yeah, what do you think Simon Phillips would say about Christmas Craft Fair Massacre?
He wouldn't have been dumb enough to watch it. He would have taken one look at it and used his amazing Santa senses to be like, this is not a real movie.
I don't taste. It's like a chewy blue raspberry Jolly Rancher.
Yeah. Not really getting much flavor.
Yeah, kind of disappointed, Mike and Ike's.
Yeah.
Mike and Ike's.
Not very impressive.
All right. Fuck, I'm going to go back for that Pop-Tart. All right, grab yourself a couple of those blueberry pie Oreos. A
couple of Oreos.
Limited edition.
Of course. All right. They smell like pie.
Yep.
Let's find out if they taste like pie.
They can't keep getting away with it! It's delicious.
It is.
It tastes just like blueberry pie.
It does taste like blueberry pie.
I don't know how... I don't know.
They can't keep getting away with this.
Someone needs to stop them.
I don't understand it. I don't know what kind. Why can't these other food brands do this? I don't understand. If it's possible, why don't any of these other brands actually make these things taste right?
Graham flavored cookie. You absolutely get the like get the pie crust graham cracker flavored cookie.
Mm.
Blue raspberry flavored or blueberry flavored cream. It tastes like a fucking blueberry pie.
Mm-hmm. No way around it. Just, it is. It's good.
They did it. I mean, they once again, they circled the square or whatever the fuck.
Ladies and gentlemen, we got them.
All right, well, mission accomplished. Let's throw on our flight suits and drop the banner.
Yep. All right, back to the 80s, Jay. Back when things were good.
Yeah.
Ish.
There were no Christmas craft fair massacres in the 80s.
It's true. You know, better than I thought it would
That's
be.
That's pretty tasty, actually.
Yeah.
Way to go crush back to the 80s electric blue raz. That's contains no juice.
Thank God. You know, there's one thing I hate, Jay. It's getting any natural ingredients in my food.
Yeah. Pass me another of them Oreos.
ever since I declared war on RFK.
Jeff's gonna be out there, package of blueberry or blueberry pie Oreos and a crush and a six pack of crush. No. Back to the 80s.
I'm gonna
electric blue rag.
I'm gonna go to the steps of Health and Human Services, Jay, and I'm gonna see how many Big Macs I can eat before they drag me away.
Look at me, Bobby.
And I'll smear the Mac sauce all through my beard, so I'll be extra disgusting. And then I'll be like, I thought this was America. And then I'll be saved at the last moment, Jay, because Trump will be walking by and he's like, hey, that guy's eating five Big Macs at a time like I do.
And he's more here I am eating with my mouth full. He's more of a fish deluxe kind of guy.
That's true. I had to throw in some fish deluxes. But yeah, I don't know. Mike and Ike's are definitely the bottom of the barrel. Probably I put the Pop-Tart after that.
No, it's tough between the crush and the blueberry pie. I think mm-hmm. I think the Oreo edges it.
Yeah, the Oreo edges it out just because it's always impressive when they can make Oreos taste like other things. The crush is a crush, so I mean it should taste good.
Still can't get over the frickin' the Sour Patch Kids ones we had last year. Like mm-hmm. how do you fucking manage to make your Oreo taste like a handful of Sour Patch Kids?
No idea. Like I said, the food scientists at Nabisco need to be loaned out to these other companies trying to make these themed items.
Well, if you want to be part of Horror for the Holidays, get in touch with us. Send us an email for our Garbage Day segment so I don't have to make Jeff eat a bunch of blue things. Our email is horrorfortheholidays@gmail.com. We're on social media places, as long as social media places aren't making you verify your ID.
Yeah.
We're all the places at Horror for Holidays. That's Horror the number 4 Holidays.
YouTube.com/horrorfortheholidays. Hit the subscribe button. Hit the bell. Leave us comments there. It's one of the easiest places to get in touch with us. Listen on all the podcatchers. We're on all of them. Leave us 5-star reviews, 0 stars if I could. Surprisingly, no 0 stars if I could reviews to be found for this one because everybody unanimously agrees it should be 0 stars.
Yep.
So, Chris's Podcast Network, of course. We're always happy to be a part of that.
Rose, such a clatter. Holidays After Dark, all that good stuff.
Yeah, yep, yep. Totally Rad Christmas.
Yep, as always.
Yep.
Check them out. Check out all the good stuff over there. Is it better than ours? Probably.
Yeah, I mean, come on, Jay. Come on. We're talking about fucking Christmas Craft Fair Massacre here. We're at the bottom of the barrel.
We are the bottom of the barrel of podcasts.
I'm just excited to see how much lower we can get after this one. What new sub-basement will be discovered after this?
I don't know. I mean, I'm looking at the shelf behind you, and I don't know that there's much on there that, like, I'm prepared to be actively worse than what we... There's movies that I know are going to be bad. I don't know if they're going to be worse than what we've seen.
I guess we'll find out.
But yeah, otherwise... We'll see you next week when for a stocking stuffer.
Yeah.
And then 2 weeks, we'll be back with another mainline movie. And I'm actually kind of excited for that one. Listen to the stocking stuffer to find out what it is.
Oh, boy.
Ooh.
And, of course, get yourselves ready because the spooktacular is not far away.
Oh, it's a coming. It's coming around the bend.
I see it. It's huge.
I ain't seen the sunshine since I don't know. Oh, wait. No, don't want to get sued for that. All right. Thanks for listening. Bye.
Yes, Jay is easily confused with Johnny Cash.
Oh God, we're gonna get so sued by the Johnny Cash estate.
Damn.